The EU's chief Brexit negotiator, Maros Šefčovič, is briefing Northern Ireland party leaders today on the latest proposals for amending the Northern Ireland Protocol to reduce customs checks and other restrictions on imports from Britain. The plan would allow free movement of medicines and reduce by 80% checks on consumer goods going into the north. The DUP leader, Geoffrey Donaldson, speaking following his virtual discussions with Mr. Šefčovič, said he made it clear that the proposals fall short of what he said is required, which is a solution that removes the Irish Sea border and restores Northern Ireland's place within the United Kingdom. Taoiseach Micheál Martin has said the proposals demonstrate the EU is in a solution mode, but he also said that he envisaged the European Court of Justice retaining its oversight role.
Access to the European Union market is the big prize here, and it is a big prize. Like nowhere else in the world is getting this unique sort of solution. But obviously, in the context of the European single market, the governance is the ECJ, and I can't see that changing.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin speaking this morning. We're joined now from our Dáil studio by the Sinn Féin leader, Mary Lou MacDonald. A very good afternoon to you, Mary Lou MacDonald. And thanks for joining us. And perhaps we'll talk about the protocol in just a moment, but just to go back to our discussion a few minutes ago with Mary Favier about the latest COVID figures and the concern that this could put some aspects of the reopening at the end of next week into jeopardy. From what we're hearing, would you be anxious that the lifting of at least some of those restrictions might not go ahead?
Well, I listened very carefully to Dr. Favier and to others from NPHET in the course of today and yesterday, and they've been consistently saying now that we have to have caution at this time, but certainly not panic. And the government have given a commitment that restrictions will be lifted on the 22nd of October. Obviously, that will have to be taken very mindful in plain sight of the public health advice. But we're also conscious that we do have to get back to life. And as Dr. Favier has said, the vaccination programme has been literally a game changer for all of our society and will be, I believe, for society globally. I think she also hit the nail on the head, Brian, when she said that actually at the core of all of this is a failure in terms of our public health provision. And it's an astonishing thing that we've come through a budget now with talks of billions in spending and yet not a provision for even one additional acute bed. And that's the beginning, the middle and the end of it. We are still faced with a huge dilemma and the real jeopardy that presents, because we have not, the government has not, and to this day will not, it seems, resource our health service correctly.
I think we know ICU beds have been significantly increased, but evidently in parts of the country, not enough to deal with this further increase in COVID cases. But in relation to the public health advice, would it be your view that when NPHET meets on Monday and makes its recommendations, that should be the direction of travel? That should be the advice that's taken on board and acted on?
Well, I think I don't think anybody making these decisions can be blind to the public health advice. And as you know, Brian, that's been consistently our position. But there needs to be a realisation also that commitments have been made to sectors that have been shut now for coming on 2 years, that they would get back to business. And I know as we speak in those sectors, people are back making the preparations. Some of them have come off the PUP payment. They won't have an opportunity, by the way, so far to go back on it if the government changes their mind. So all of these issues and questions have to be taken in the round. What I am deeply uncomfortable with is the fact now that for the weekend, all of these people will now sweat it out again and worry profoundly as to whether or not they're going to face into extended periods of uncertainty. And I would just urge the government to do everything they can to prevent that, because there has to be a sense of fairness and balance and ultimately a realisation, Brian, we can't banish COVID. COVID now is a reality. It'll become endemic rather than, you know, a pandemic. And all of us need to use our cop on. We need to be smart and sensible about how we carry ourselves. But also people need to get back to work and life needs to resume.
Look, no doubt we'll return to this in the next number of days. But let's move on to the protocol. We've seen these significant concessions announced announced this week by Maros Šefčovič. Even though people in Northern Ireland were being told earlier this year that the checks, all the aspects of the protocol that were in place at that stage would have to remain, can you see now a deal being struck?
Well, look, I think that there has to be an absolute commitment to goodwill conversations now in very short order over the next number of weeks. And I think the announcement made by Commissioner Šefčovič demonstrates that there are solutions. Certainly when we met in Belfast in September, I found him on behalf of the European Commission and the European institutions to be very open-minded, to be very much in, as has been called, solutions mode. And I think they have now set out very clearly how the issues around medicines, the issue of checks and burdensome paperwork and so on can actually be resolved. And I have to say this, Brian, and just bear this in mind, the DUP and Geoffrey Donaldson do not, let me repeat, do not speak for the vast, vast majority of people in the north of Ireland. The vast majority across all sectors recognise that a protocol was necessary and also now want to work for a situation where that protocol is operable. And what I am hearing across the board is a recognition that what is being proposed by the European Commission is workable and that it resolves the core issues of concern for people.
What Geoffrey Donaldson is saying, that it's good as far as it goes, but it still falls short of what is required. And in pressing again and again for concessions, the British government and the unionists have shown that tactic has been successful, hasn't it? They've wrung more and more concessions out of Europe. And if it's worked in the past, they might be saying to themselves, why won't it work now for this last mile of the negotiations?
Well, if they're foolish enough to imagine that, what they will discover is that every negotiating stance has what I would call its elastic limit and the moment where it runs out of road. So on the issue now that has been conjured up around the European Court of Justice, let me say this. I didn't hear one unionist, including Geoffrey Donaldson, make mention of the European Court of Justice or its jurisdiction on the protocol before David Frost mentioned this issue. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of politicking and a lot of game playing going on. What it boils down to, Brian, is people need to decide, do they want good order? Do they want a stable, not just business environment, but stability for working people? Or do they want a dog's dinner and chaos? And the play acting of Tories, which I have to say doesn't surprise me at all, and their belligerence is now being surfed by an element, and it is only a minority element of the unionist population, and that's most unfortunate.
Okay, but on the European Court of Justice, does it really matter to the people that you represent, that Sinn Féin represents in Northern Ireland, if the ECG was to be removed from oversight and there'd be some other arrangement in place?
But Brian, it's about the operability of the protocol. The European Court of Justice, when it's matters of European law, has to have jurisdiction. So, I mean, the whole thing is farcical and ludicrous. The actual question is this, if you don't mind me saying, are the people on the streets of Derry and Belfast and in the glens of Antrim losing sleep at night because of the jurisdiction of the European Court of Justice? And the answer to that emphatically is that they are not.
Does it matter if it were to be removed, if it were to go? Would it really amount to much of a concession?
But Brian, it can't be removed because it's part and parcel of the operability and the lawfulness of the protocol. So that's just ridiculous proposition.
Well, the EU has agreed to resume negotiations, so obviously it's prepared to look again at certainly some aspects of the deal. And Norway and Iceland, they're not in the EU, they're part of the single market, and there's an independent adjudication process there.
Look, what they have presented, I think, is very significant in terms of the SPS checks, in terms of the reductions in paperwork. I think critically that issue of supply of medicines, which is not just about checks but also the regulatory framework. Solutions are being offered up for all of those. Now we need a joint committee and the solutions need to be landed on. But let me tell you this, it wouldn't matter if Mr. Šefčovič and the entirety of the commission, went through every hoop imaginable and bent over backwards if it is a case that the Tory government and their allies, and they do not speak for the majority in the north, but their allies within unionism decide that they want to politic and create electoral platforms, and if they just want to be belligerent and disruptive. And I hope that that is not the case. And let me repeat, the people in the north did not vote for Brexit. This has been foisted on us, the people of this island. We need the protocol just to protect our basic interests. And the vast bulk of people across every sector in northern society recognise that fact. And I wish to God that Geoffrey Donaldson did
briefly,
as well.
Just briefly, Mary Lou McDonald, to go back to our earlier discussion about COVID, and particularly we were talking about intensive care beds. We just checked on the figures. The budget included a provision of 1.5 million, or so 10.5 million euro for further intensive care beds, bringing the total next year to 340 ICU beds.
And it contained zero for any additional acute beds, community beds. We made provision for all of these things, and we've debated this matter long and hard with government. And in the midst of their billions, the blizzards of billions, they are still shortchanging the health service. And unfortunately,
that is a sizable financial commitment.
I say this with a heavy heart. Sadly, we will see the evidence of that, not just in respect of COVID and COVID care, but right across the system. And I'm with Dr. Favier and those who work on the front line and who are witness to this inadequacy.
Mary Lou McDonald, leader of Sinn Féin, thank you for that.